Let's take stock of what's happening in the world of transports with an expert. We have Satish Jindal of SJ Consulting. Satish, welcome to Bloomberg.
My pleasure.
Satish, we know a little bit about Federal Express. They're going to report their quarterly results on Thursday. Fred Smith, the chief executive, last week saying he has not seen the level of business he would normally expect at this time in the cycle. What are you seeing?
Well, I think the numbers will still be better than their guidance. And I would say that they are probably going to come out closer to the higher end of the spread you have from the one call.
Why do you think that the results are going to be better?
Because if you look at in December, UPS had a very good month. And because of federal fiscal year, December, January, February is going to be included in this earnings on Thursday. So they will have also benefited from that increase in shipping that took place in December because of the way the holiday season turned out.
But you got a little company here, Deutsche Bank, coming out today and saying that they see upside to the consensus estimates for FedEx's third quarter. They're saying buy the stock ahead of the earnings report. They raised their target on the shares of FedEx to $110. That's up from $108. They reiterated the buy recommendation. The shares of FedEx today up $1.59, $87.77. I know you're not a stock picker per se, Satish, but do you like this at $110? Doesn't that seem a little rich?
Well, yes. I would say I think the stock is probably fully valued at this point, in my view, and people may have gotten a little ahead.
All right. Now, what happens when someone like Fred Smith comes out and talks about the business cycle? That's all last quarter. What do you see in the future?
Well, the business volumes for the transportation sector, various ones, including when we'll have a chance to talk truckload, LTL, there has been an improvement in March. Now, whether it is due to some of the shift from February that due to the snow season and the heavy snow that we had, moved some of it from February to March, but also I think over the last several months, companies, the retailers, everyone has been sort of pulling back on their inventory, that there's only so much you can bring it down. And at that point, you do have to put something back on the shelves and into the manufacturing process. And you'll see, if we talk about the railroads, they're starting to see increase in the shipping of chemicals and building materials. And they all go into the production cycle then. So I think the bottom is probably come, and either we're going to see an improvement or we will not see the situations getting worse.
Satish, what about the speed with which companies are replenishing their stocks, whether it is on the warehouse shelf or in the stores? Is that also a benefit to companies like FedEx and UPS? Because if you need that stuff on the shelf for Monday, you're going to have to ship it there by plane.
Well, that is definitely a very good point, Pim. The other thing is the certain products have started to become have a shorter obsolescence cycle, and with that, companies don't want to have something sitting on the shelf for 3-4 months or in the warehouse to be put out on the shelf for sale, and that always helps air freight. The other thing that is starting to probably going to show up in their numbers is the security requirements of 100% screening of air cargo by August 3rd. And the TSA has made statements that they don't see 100% coming, that they may be at 65, and that should shift some business to the freight companies like FedEx, UPS.
All right, we're going to continue the conversation with Satish Jindal on transports. Skinner, we're with Satish Jindal talking about trucking, talking about transport. Satish Jindal of SJ Consulting. Satish, all right, let's expand it. We talked a little bit about FedEx. Just give me your thoughts on UPS, and then let's transition into trucking. UPS, are they going to surprise on the upside?
I think UPS will also show results that will be better than what people may be expecting, just because the effect of DHL exiting the market, capacity becoming more rationalized, they have absorbed all that shift, and now with the rate increase that they took at the start of the year, parcel carriers have a lot more discipline than the other industries within transportation in having most of that stick with the existing customers. So you will find some yield improvement by 2-3% easily. That most of that should then go down to the bottom line.
Satish, what do you mean by this discipline that is compared to other participants in the industry?
Well, what happens is that, you know, these companies take an annual rate increase, and in the parcel, it gets implemented and gets incorporated in the rates. In the LTL, which is the heavy freight guys like YRC and others that we have talked about, there is so much lack of discipline. The shippers make a noise about it, and they say, okay, we'll reduce your discount. So they go and get a rate increase, and then they increase the discount to neutralize it. So,
And is that because there's just a huge amount of capacity in the system?
But there is capacity. There is just a cultural difference. And the other thing is that, in you see, a UPS customer is using a UPS rate sheet to ship with. FedEx guy uses the FedEx rate sheet. In the case of LTL, you could have a shipper that is using a rate sheet of a totally different carrier for shipping with you.
So a lot of different rates would be included in that less than truckload shipping.
Yes, there are about 25 different rates and more.
So as a result, you get a more fragmented market. You get to pick and choose, and that drives cost down.
That drives cost up for the carriers and drives cost down for the shippers.
Right, for the shippers.
Yep.
So what's the situation right now in the trucking business? Are they seeing any kind of improvement in pricing?
Well, you've got two segments, and we need to look at them separately. You've got the full truckload guys that, you know, go from point A to point B. And there, the capacity has been rationalized to a better extent than in the LTL space. And the reason is that you have some large truckload carriers who have shown discipline by parking trucks or not ordering new ones, and that's reflected in the sales of the Class A trucks. And then you've had a few thousand smaller carriers that have gone out, and it usually happens in February, March, when they all have to get their trucks registered with the federal government, and that cost a few thousand dollars per truck, and if you think you're not going to be operating them, you don't pay for it.
Right. Why pay for the registration when you're not going to actually drive it?
Exactly. So combination of that has reduced the capacity, and with some volume increase of intermodal and international containers that is reflected in the ocean traffic and in the rail intermodal, there is some improvement in the truckload business, which is reflected in their pricing are holding up a little better. They're either flat or getting an increase of low single digit.
Satish Jindal, what about intermodal business?
Can I make one comment about the Dow Transport?
You can.
Since February 5th, when we last talked on the radio, Dow Industrial is up 5.8% as of today. Dow Transport is up 12.5%.
And if you believe that transports lead the economy.
Well, that's one part of it. And the other is that transports are a good place to invest.
You still like them?
Yes, I do.
So tell me about what's happening at the intermodal business.
Well, you've got two of them. One is, of course, J.B. Hunt, which is the one that provides the door-to-door service. And then, of course, they use the railroads. And the railroads get a lot of intermodal that may not show up in J.B. Hunt because they are handling the containers coming from the ocean liners from overseas. With respect to just J.B. Hunt first, J.B. Hunt, you know, the main news over there is that they have brought on a new board member, Doug Duncan. Mm-hmm. What's important there is that Doug brings two things for them. One, he has been a long-term seasoned executive at FedEx Corp. And through that, he brings some relationships for
the
company.
He was the former president of FedEx Freight.
Exactly, yeah. FedEx president and CEO. And so there are two things that I see coming from it. One is they will get some additional guidance from him on some last-mile business that they have been doing through their dedicated business. So that's one part of it. And the other is that if the company is looking at any M&A opportunities for J.B. Hunt, Doug Duncan would be a great resource for them.
What do you think they're going to buy, Satish? Come on.
Or what do you think they're going to sell?
Or what are they going to sell? Tell us.
Sell the company.
You think so?
Quite possible.
All right. You heard it here first. Satish Jindal mentioning the possibility, just the possibility, maybe J.B. Hunt selling some, maybe a part of the business. Satish, what about the trucking business in general? A good place to invest right now?
Yes. Excuse me.
I know it's so emotional for you after what's happened in the recession.
No, it's more that I'm just coming out of a cold from having been in Panama and having experienced a 75, 80 degree temperature and coming back to 30 degrees.
Well, I'm going to get you on Panama because I know you were there on business. I know it had to do with the airline industry.
Yep.
We're going to do something there. So the trucking business, you think, is a good place to invest?
I think right now is a good timing to get in it, both for truckload or LTL, because they have seen the worst of everything, both in terms of overcapacity, both in terms of market demand decline. And I know that a lot of carriers are seeing a high single-digit to double-digit improvement in their shipment count and shipment weight.
All right, now let's turn to passengers. We were talking about cargo, whether it was the trucking industry or whether it's the air freight or the ground freight business, FedEx and UPS. Tell me about the passenger airline business right now, Satish. I know you're a big fan of baggage fees. You like them for airlines.
I don't like airlines as an investment because it's an industry that has got so much government involvement that they don't have total control over their operating costs, and that they have customers and passengers who have started to expect certain things as part of entitlement from a private sector that they have become, it's become very hard for them to recover the cost of services that they provide.
And, well, tell me about your trip to Panama.
Well, I happen to see what people are transporting on an international basis, and if I have a next opportunity, I'll show you some pictures I took of people coming with four suitcases, each weighing 50 pounds or more, and having a free ride.
And this is why charging a fee for a bag, at least from the airline's point of view, as you've described, is the wave of the future. It's here for this. It's here to stay.
It's here to stay, and I would say they again will have heard it here on Bloomberg, is that Southwest Airlines, which doesn't have a baggage fee and makes a big deal out of it, watch, in a year or two, they will be joining the rest of them.
All right, we're going to continue the conversation. We've got more with Satish Jindal of SJ Consulting. Satish, what about the railroads right now? Would you be investing in railroad stocks? There aren't that many of them left.
Yeah, they basically have three in the U.S. at this point, the large ones, with BNI now being part of Berkshire. So on the West Coast, it's UP, and then East, you have got CSX and Norfolk Southern. Now, one thing, since you have mentioned about the Dow Transport performance, since February 5th, while the Dow Transport went up 12.5, UNP is up 17.2 and CSX is up 18.8. So they have outperformed the Dow Transport also.
Now, what is this? Because everyone that was invested in Burlington Northern Santa Fe that wants to stay in a railroad, they're going to have to get out of that and invest in another railroad.
That's part of it. And the other is that they know that if there is any economic recovery within the transports, like they may be the leading indicators, within them, the railroads are going to be the first ones, because economic recovery means the consumers are going to be spending, and the way we spend is by buying more imported goods.
And do you buy that?
I think that is still the case.
And do you think that that means that it's a good idea to invest in railroad stocks now?
Yes, because they have a very important infrastructure that is very difficult for the trucking and any other transport alternative to replace. And with the way our stimulus funding is going, it's not going into major projects that will relieve congestion. It's going mostly into doing little fixes here and there. So the rails will continue to enjoy their exclusive right-of-way infrastructure.
All right, I want to thank you very much. Satish Jindal coming to us from SJ Consulting, talking about transports.
Copyright Bloomberg LP 2010.